Good morning and welcome to this online worship service on this sixth Sunday of Easter as we make our way towards Pentecost. Fiona is taking some well-deserved vacation days this week, and so I am filling in for her in this role. And as you will see as we move on in the service, we have a very special guest preacher today. So now, as we prepare ourselves for all of that and for everything that God will do in our worship this morning, let's take a moment to focus on God's presence with us and on Jesus, the light of the world. Friends, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let's join together now in our call to worship. Jesus is the Good Shepherd. He calls to us, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." We gather in reverence and adoration, listening for the voice of the shepherd who lay down his life for us, who guides and protects us. Let us worship him.
Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in worship, grateful for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Good Shepherd. As we gather in his presence, we ask that you would open our hearts to hear his voice, to know him more intimately, and to follow him with faith and obedience. May your Spirit guide us as we worship, and may your word be a lamp unto our feet. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us bring our hearts before God, surrendering our faults and fears and welcoming his grace as we say the prayer of confession. Come to us, God, like fresh water, softening the soil of a parched and weary land. We confess that hurts and disappointments harden our hearts. Frustrations and failures dry us out. Come to us, God, with life-giving power. Free us from resentment, reluctance, and reserve. Remind us that in your forgiveness we are free. Forgiven, may we be forgiving. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Friends, in our message and our reading today, we are going to be meditating on what it means to us that Jesus is our shepherd and we are the sheep of his flock. Scripture speaks to us of this often, and because it does, we know that even in the darkest valley, we need not fear, for Jesus the shepherd is with us. We know that our shepherd will comfort and shelter us, that no harm will come to us, and that no one will ever be able to snatch us out of God's hands. And we can be absolutely assured that with God's redeeming and restoring grace, we will be granted life and life everlasting. Thanks be to God, and God's people say, Amen.
Today's reading is from John chapter 10, verses 22 to 30. And I'm reading from the New International Version. Further conflict over Jesus' claims. Then came the festival of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple courts, walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews who were there gathered around him, saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I did tell you, but you do not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, my friends. When Diane first approached me about the possibility of delivering a sermon, my initial reaction was one of fear. Who was I to be asked to speak on the Word of God? I learned and was reassured that the key is not just the formal title of minister, but the ability to share a message of faith or religious insights with others. Individuals can still deliver sermons based on their personal experiences, insights, and understanding of their faith. I'm truly honored to stand here before you. Diane's been acting as my mentor when it comes to this sermon and kindly offered to read and offer her insights on the draft I sent her. She replied, offering support and reassurance while she took time away for her vacation to the Maryland Sheep and Wool Festival. So what should arrive in her email but my sermon draft on sheep? The Holy Spirit does indeed work in strange ways. So today we're talking about Jesus as the Good Shepherd. And us, we're the sheep, which is flattering if you've never met a sheep. Sheep are basically fluffy toddlers with no GPS. They panic easily, they wander off constantly, and they'll eat something poisonous just because it looks interesting. Does that sound familiar? Jesus didn't call us lions or eagles. He picked the animal most likely to get stuck in a bush. But the good news is he still calls us his. So either he sees something we don't, or he just really, really loves a challenge. Seriously though, today's reading is one that relates to the turbulent times that we're living in, and one that I found particularly meaningful. I'll be honest, I'm one who's never been able to handle uncertainty very well. This is especially true with issues over which I have little or no control. Many times I feel like I'm on my own trying to figure out a way to deal with the stress and or anxiety that the world seems to throw at us. I'm reminded, however, of my father, who was captured and put into forced labor at the outbreak of the Second World War at the age of 17. He eventually escaped and ended up joining the Allied forces in the tank corps. He faced far more uncertainty than we're facing in our world. He survived by hearing the voice of Jesus and following his guidance. The reading from John that Julie shared with us today offers, shall we say, a different, or more correctly, the right way of looking at the difficulties we face. The encounter takes place during the festival of dedication, which we now know as Hanukkah, which is a celebration of light in the darkness of winter. How fitting that Jesus, the light of the world, should be questioned about his identity during this festival. Notice the setting. It's winter in Jerusalem. There's a physical chill in the air, but also a spiritual chill in the hearts of those questioning Jesus. How long will you keep us in suspense, they're asking him. If you're the Messiah, tell us plainly. Like, their question seems reasonable on the surface. They want clarity, don't we all? In our own lives, we often find ourselves asking God to speak plainly, to make the path forward crystal clear. But Jesus' response reveals something profound about the nature of faith and recognition. I did tell you, but you don't believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me. In other words, whatever Jesus does speaks of what he has done, which should be ample proof of who he is. Jesus had been revealing himself through his words and actions all along. The problem wasn't a lack of evidence, it was a lack of recognition. And this recognition, Jesus explains, comes from being part of his flock. He says, you don't believe because you're not my sheep. I read through this passage several times. One would think, how much proof does one need? Jesus had been showing all along through his actions and miracles, and yet the belief was hard to come by. The concept of being face to face with the Messiah is a difficult one to accept, despite having the proof staring you in the face. And this is something I can only imagine. So what does it mean to be one of Jesus' sheep? It means three things. Firstly, sheep listen to the shepherd's voice. In ancient Palestine, shepherds didn't drive their sheep from behind with dogs or prod them forward, as today's shepherds might do. Instead, they led from the front, calling to their flock, and each shepherd had a distinctive call that only his sheep would recognize and follow. Similarly, Jesus says, my sheep listen to my voice. This isn't about physically hearing something, but rather about spiritual recognition, an inner knowing that resonates with truth when we encounter it. Secondly, the shepherd knows his sheep. Jesus says, I know them. This isn't a casual acquaintance, but intimate knowledge. In Hebrew thought, to quote, know someone implied a deep personal relationship. Jesus knows each of us by name, with all of our strengths and flaws and hopes and fears. Thirdly, the sheep follow the shepherd. They follow me, Jesus says. Following requires trust and action. And that's the important part, trust and action. It's not enough to recognize the voice or to be known by the shepherd, but we must actually follow where the shepherd leads. But here's the wonderful promise that follows. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand, says Jesus. What security, what comfort in a world of uncertainty, economic instability, health concerns, relationship challenges. Jesus offers the ultimate security. No matter what the storm, what storms we face, nothing can separate us from the shepherd's care. And then Jesus reinforces this promise with an even stronger statement. My Father, who's given them to me, he says, is greater than all, and no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. So picture this. We're held in Jesus' hand, and his hand is held in his Father's hand. Double protection, double security. And finally, Jesus makes the statement that would have shocked his listeners. I and the Father are one, he says. With these five simple words, Jesus claims equality with God. That's a claim that ultimately would lead to his crucifixion. Yet, It is this very unity with the Father that makes his protection so powerful and so complete. So what does this mean for us in today's world? First, it invites us to honest self-reflection. Do we recognize the shepherd's voice? In a world full of competing voices, social media, advertising, political rhetoric, can we discern the voice of truth? And that's a very difficult thing to do in today's world. Jesus suggested his sheep naturally recognize his voice. This comes through spending time in prayer, in scripture, and in quiet reflection. I must admit that I don't nearly spend enough quiet time listening to the voice of Jesus. The worldly distractions are too tempting for me. My computer, my tablet, social media take away my focus. This focus needs to be cultivated. It's simple. Take the time to be quiet so you can hear. Our world is so full of noise. Jesus often withdrew to quiet places, setting aside time for reflection without distractions. I always found this interesting. I always thought, why would the Son of God need to withdraw and make quiet time for reflection? I guess the answer is simple, simply because he was human. We need to put down the phone, plan the free time. Just being present to him creates space to hear him. Developing a prayer life that includes listening. Prayer isn't just speaking to God. It's also sitting quietly, waiting, and listening. I find this so hard because we've all been trained to be busy. My new way of listening is to go to the forest and sit quietly, even if it's only for a few minutes, and listen to Jesus speaking to me through the beauty of nature. Sometimes we don't hear more from God because we haven't responded to what he's already said. Being faithful in little things sharpens your spiritual hearing. One of the most important things Diane has taught me is to involve the Holy Spirit in my life. Jesus said the Spirit would guide us into all truth. John said this in chapter 16. By asking him daily to make Jesus' voice clear to you, whether through scripture, a nudge in your heart, or wise counsel, I call on the Holy Spirit for so many things now, including writing the sermon. I've made the promise to myself and one that we can all do. Learn to listen to his voice. Jesus himself gives the instruction. My sheep know my voice, but how can you hear the noise through the noise of the world if you don't shut it out? In addition to self-reflection, it offers profound comfort. Whatever you're going through right now, whether you're dealing with illness, grief, financial hardship, worrying about the state of the world, or relationship struggles, remember that you're held in the shepherd's hand. And nothing can snatch us away from that secure place. Finally, it calls us to follow. Recognizing the voice isn't enough. This goes back to trust in action. We must actually go where Jesus is leading us. This might mean stepping out of our comfort zone, forgiving someone who has hurt us, serving those in need, or speaking truth in love. As we conclude, let us imagine ourselves in that temple colonnade with Jesus. It's winter, there's a chill in the air, people are asking questions, demanding proof. But amidst the noise and confusion, there's a voice you recognize. A voice calling your name. Will we recognize that voice today? Will we rest in the security of the shepherd's hand? Will we follow where he leads? Or do we stay stuck in the bush?
Savior leads me. What have I to ask beside Can I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in him to dwell. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well.
Let's pray together. Gracious and loving God, we dream of a world free of poverty and oppression, and we yearn for a world free of vengeance and violence. And so we pray for your peace. When our hearts ache for those whose lives have been turned upside down by war and oppression, help us to remember that you healed people simply by touching them. Jesus, give us faith that you can and that you might bring your healing through our prayers and through our efforts to comfort those whose bodies and minds and spirits have been broken. When the injustice of this world seems too much for us to handle, help us to remember that you fed 5,000 people, Jesus, with only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Give us hope that what we have to offer might turn out to be enough to meet the expanse of the needs before us as well. When our fear of the power and opinions of others tempts us not to speak up for the least amongst us, help us to remember that you, Jesus, dared to turn over the tables of money changers in the temple. Give each one of us the courage we need to risk following as you lead without counting the cost. Jesus, when we feel ourselves filling with anger at those who are violent and oppressive, help us to remember how from the cross you prayed for those who killed you. Grace us with compassion for our enemies as well. When we tell ourselves that we have given all we can to bring peace to this world, help us to remember your sacrifice and give us the miracle of seeing what can happen when we risk losing a little more of ourselves as we serve you and serve our neighbors. Jesus, you call us to be peacemakers, so we ask that you would walk with us as we try to answer that call. Quiet our fears, our hurts, and our anger, and in their places, stir compassion, generosity, and warm hospitality for the most vulnerable of your children. Give us the courage, the patience, the serenity, the self-honesty, and the gentleness of spirit that we need to be people who embody your love and your peace in our world that is so filled with turmoil and terror. Help us to be like you, Jesus, so that others might find life. And now, asking all that, we finish by praying as you have taught us to, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let me thank each of you who give so generously to the life and work of St. Stephen's in this community, in this online realm, and in the world beyond. We are so very grateful for your continued support, and you need to know that that makes this work possible. So let's pray now to dedicate all of the gifts that have been given this week to God's mission of bringing love and life in this world. God of great gifts, in this Easter season, we give you praise, we give you glory, we give you thanks. With resurrection humming in our hearts, our minds are tuned to your song of peace. We joyfully present these gifts to you, a tangible chorus of thanksgiving, a harmony of hope for your kingdom come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Just a reminder that we are having a garage sale on Saturday, May 31st, which is just next Saturday. If you would like to come out to that and are local, we hope we'll see you. If you have some things that you'd like to contribute to it, the information on how you can do that is in your emailed announcements. Friends, go now, trusting in the Good Shepherd. Let us love not just with words, but with truth and with action. Believe in the name of Jesus Christ and love one another just as he has commanded us. And may God be at your side. May Jesus Christ be the cornerstone of your life, and may the Holy Spirit abide in you and tend you with love and mercy all the days of your life. Amen.
I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from the sunshine, for its skies may turn to gray. Don't worry for the future, for I know what Jesus said, and today I'll walk beside Him, for He knows what lies ahead. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. Getting brighter as the golden stairs I climb. Every burden's getting lighter, every cloud is silver light. There no tear will dim the eye. At the ending of the rainbow, where the mountains touch the sky.